Okay. You know, I'm sure glad that I did not have to understand that Jesus was God when I got saved. If I had had to understand all the things that I know now, well, I believed he was God. I mean, I believed he had all power in heaven and earth. But I'm glad that I didn't have to have a PhD in order to figure all this out. Because once you get saved, it's easier to understand. You sure can't understand much at all until you're saved. Because you're under conviction. God's bothering you about the things. And he keeps bothering you, and he keeps bothering you, and he keeps bothering you. And you're sitting there listening to the preaching. And all you know is that there's a heaven, there's a hell. And that you're going to go to hell if you don't do something. And you finally figure out you're supposed to repent toward God and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once I finally came to understand that that's what I had to do, I didn't sit there and think about how God was, all those names in Isaiah. I didn't think about all that. And I'm sure the preacher preached on it. But I had one thing on my mind. I didn't want to go to hell. It was that plain. It was that simple. Once I got saved, I could understand a lot about things. But I don't know. It was just a kind of a tough time for me. Anyway, I said all that to say this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, I looked at that, and I said, well, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now all of a sudden you get a capital L. And Jesus was the light. Capital L. And he came to bear witness of the light. John came witness, was a witness, that Jesus was the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. The preachers that I sat under talked an awful lot about the light. They talked, and I used to sit and wonder about all these capitals and different things. But they got it across to me that Jesus was the light of the world. And that until you come to that light, you just you don't understand very much about all the things that I've studied about. Good gravy, I'm 85. Thank you, Terry. I just found out I can't make up my mind if I'm 85 or 86. And it was something that until I understood that he was the light of the world, the light was in him, and he was that light. It was like a light came on inside me. It was like a light that I, for the first time, I understood. And I believed. You say, how much did you believe? I quit trusting myself and just put my faith in Him. You say, well, you believed He was God. But I understood that He was the light. And I understood that something had happened to me. And I understood it was real. I understood it was genuine. Once you receive Christ, once you trust Him, you quit trusting in yourself. But up until that time, a lot of people, I'm not saying it's the same for everybody, but I'm saying a lot of people, they just get the idea, if I pray hard enough and if I'm really honest and I don't want to go to hell, and that's on their mind, that's on their mind, that's on their mind, that's on their mind. That's what Jesus puts on there. That's what God puts on there. And until they do what it says, until they repent toward God and put their faith in the Lord Jesus, something is missing. And they keep on praying and they want to be saved and they repent many times, but they don't really know what they're doing. And all of a sudden, when God decides, okay, and He saves them, for the first time, they're able to understand things about God they never quite understood before. But I do remember when I was saved, and the pastor, because I had been praying so hard, I wanted to be saved. I didn't want to go to hell. And that night, I knew. You say, well, did it go all the way from the top of your head down to your toes? And just, no, I just knew. You say, well, how did you know? I just knew. I'm sorry, that's the only thing I can tell you. And so, I don't know, but when I understood that, he kept trying to take me down a Roman road down there. I kept telling him I was already saved. I'm not going to go through that with you again. But this thing about him being light, do you know a lot of people don't like the light? You say, well, they're not saved. Don't be too sure. Because some people, after they get saved, when they really understand what goes with it, and they really start trying to live for Him, what's the one thing the devil can't do? He cannot unsave them. He cannot unsave them. Once you've had a taste of the real thing, you have the uncola in you, and you cannot save yourself. And once you realize that, God begins to work with you, and you begin to learn. You can be in the best church in the world, and it can be doctrinally sound and all that, but unless you want to please God, unless you want to please Him, you're either a thorn or you're going to become a thorn, one or the other. And it's a problem. Whose name was John? The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Well, he was not that light. He wasn't the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, sometimes you use different Greek words in here, like anthropos, which means both men and women. And sometimes there are scriptures in there that after you learn a lot about this, you're just almost afraid to tell people because you know the reaction you're going to get. For instance, and that's just what I'm talking about tonight, in straight way, you know, it says that God reached in Adam's side and took out Eve. He didn't specify a rib. The word for rib is abib. You say, well, what is it that you're afraid to tell people? I've seen preachers get mad as the dickens if you say Jesus was bisexual. If they say that God was bisexual. And that's because he made Adam bisexual. And he was both man and woman. And they just go to pieces. Well, is that important? Well, why do you got all your ribs? Why didn't you just, you know, leave it out? God reached in Adam's side and just took Eve out. And men don't think like women. Women don't think like men. And when God works on a woman and works on a man, if they want to get together, they're made that way. But there are some scriptures you're afraid to preach. And that's one of them for me, because people just don't understand that. You say, well, how could God reach in there and just pull her out? Well, he pulled out part of Adam's spirit. And that was it. But I'm glad I didn't have to know all that stuff before I got saved. And I'm sorry when I went out on these trips that I knew if I preached some of this stuff, they wouldn't have me back to the church. So I just told them that God came out of Adam, and let them go ahead and assume it was a rib. I don't know what else to do, but the truth is, I'm telling you. And if you can't take it, ask yourself why. Because it doesn't say he reached in, took out a rib. It says he reached in, took out Adam. Are you really anything like your wife? I mean, no, you're not. And I was not in it, but God took the woman out of the man. You say, well, what did she look like? Well, she was very attractive. And she had a very kind personality. You say, well, weren't they totally depraved? Yeah. But there's a part of you that's mean as a snake, even though you may be a preacher, and you may still lose your temper. You may be a wonderful woman whose desire is towards your husband, but you still lose your temper. You're still totally depraved. And if you didn't understand how gracious God was, you don't give him very much credit. You say, well, why are you telling us? You can take it. You can listen to it. You can hear it, make your own assessment. And if you don't agree, you can try to help me understand it. I just have to understand things and up to the point where God has taught me. And that's all I know to do. I know I'm saved. I know that God didn't have to reach in there and take out a rib. Just take. What did he do? Just take the rib and work it over real good. No. No. You say, well, Adam was bisexual. No, he wasn't bisexual. He was one man. There was one God. And he reached in and he took the part of the man that was like the woman. Had a different personality, had a different way of looking at things. And if you can't adjust to that, then you got a problem. You say, well, what is the problem? You don't believe me. Well, that's all right. Just join the club. Because one of the problems I've had, God used me for what I do, is I don't tell people that for a long time. Because I know how bad preachers get when they say, well, he wasn't bisexual. I know he wasn't bisexual. But where was the woman? Well, the woman, that was different. How was it different? I mean, she was God's. God made her. Why didn't he just reach down and take out the dirt? That's already been done. He just reached down and took out the woman. You say, well, that means she wasn't totally depraved. Well, does it? Now, I'm telling you these things because don't ever get to think that you... I'm saved. I learn every day about something, and I'm telling you something that I have believed for a very long time. But that's the truth. You say, well, I'm going to get offended by it. Okay, that's fine. But what am I going to do when I get to heaven? And I told you he took out a rib. Look up the words for it in different things on your own. You say, well, does that mean I'm not saved? No, it doesn't mean that at all. When you get to the point where you don't believe what God said, and you don't believe the words that were used for it, then you don't want to learn anymore. You don't want to know anymore. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, does that mean you have to believe that you have to call on Jesus to save you? If that's what you had to do? I call him Heavenly Father and that's it. And Jesus told me to told us when we were praying to address him as Heavenly Father. You say, we've had preachers in this church that just ran it in the ground, and they didn't like me. They didn't want me. They climbed on me all the time, and I'd apologize to them, and I wouldn't do anything wrong. And I finally came to understand a lot of things about people. You know why? Because I are one. I are one. And I can't get along with God unless he teaches me. And I can't know how he feels about things unless the words is what you're supposed to use. Does that mean that everybody that doesn't agree with me is wrong? No, it doesn't. It simply means that I'm telling you something that you can check out for yourself. But thank God, I didn't have to know all the things I know now to get saved. Because I had one thing on my mind when I was under conviction. And at that time, I didn't know that God had fulfilled three offices. I just knew that I was supposed to repent toward God, and the scripture was very clear on that. And I kept trying to repent, and finally I saw the light. It wasn't a blinding, flashing light. It wasn't something that just went, whee! I just suddenly understood, and God saved me. And then, because people didn't want me to get baptized, they thought I was too young. You know the story. I've told it many times because that's my testimony. And you say, well, why are you telling us now? Because people have trouble believing that God has reached in there and brought out Adam's personality. And part of it was like a woman. He had the kind of love that a woman has, a kind of love a man has, but he took the part of out of Adam. He wasn't bisexual. He was one man. God just reached in there and took out the part that was different. And here we are today. And if you don't have learned by now that women are different, quite frankly, you're not very smart. Because that's the way it is. And they are different. And you love them for the difference. And you accept them for the difference. Am I telling you this because I want you all to suddenly believe what I just told you? No. I'm telling you because this is something that I have believed for a very long time. And God has convinced me that it's true. You say, well, did you ever preach this in other churches? Are you kidding? What do you think would have happened if I'd have preached that in missionary Baptist churches as I went all over the place? They'd have thrown me out in the corn patch. You say, well, God, I'm supposed to ask for wisdom, understanding, discernment. I did. And I looked up the words and everything, and I said, well, what are you going to do with this? You know what I did? I did what I believed God wanted me to do. I didn't have to preach all that for people to get saved. All I had to do was just tell them that they needed to repent toward God and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And some would say, well, he didn't even know his name back then. I said, well, it's over there in Isaiah, but I said, you know. And I wouldn't argue with them about the rib. I never started anything that started that rib thing. You say, why are you telling us? Because you're my friends. Because I love you. And because this is what I believe, and you might as well know it, because if I can't tell you what I believe and pass it on to you, how am I going to learn from you? You say, well, that I don't want you to have to believe it. I want you to understand that was not a rib. Why didn't he just reach inside his nose, you know? Because in here is where the heart is. In here is where the heart is. You say, well, that's a cardia. That's not a real heart. It's a spiritual heart. And that's what God reached in and grabbed, was the spiritual part of Adam that had a compassion for children like you don't have it. You love your children, but you're a male. And you love them in a certain way. And women love them too, but they love them in a certain way. And I just accept it. You say, why are you so sure? If God can reach down and take some of the earth and pull it together and make a human being, he's made one person. And there were two personalities in Adam. I mean, they were there. And God just reached in and pulled out a woman. Surely he can make a spirit. Surely he can remove a spirit if he put it in there in the first place. You say, have you ever preached that in any other church? No. You say, well, why haven't you? Because I didn't want to tell anybody until I knew that it wouldn't offend them. And I just told you, and if it offends you, well, I'll apologize to you now. But that's what I believe. I'm your pastor, and that's what I believe. So I don't have any secrets from you. That's the last one, I guess. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When they were talking to Jesus about the way, the truth, and the life, and Jesus said, through the writer of the Psalms, that the ones who were in heaven were those who were poor in spirit. Why were they in heaven? Were they born that way? Yes, they were. They were born totally depraved. You say, well, what did God do? Well, God rebirthed them. And that's what happened. Nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. Grace seems to bother some people. They get saved and they don't have any problem saying, I was saved by grace. But sometimes people have problems with that. And there's a million questions they ask. And if they ask about Adam, I'll tell you right now that God took the woman out of Adam. And when he removed the woman, she wasn't in Adam anymore. She was a separate individual. And She still is today. And if you ladies haven't learned that men are different from you, you're not very observant. And if you men haven't learned that, why would he pick a rib and a bib? Well, look up the word a bib, then look up, and it's not in the original. He just reached in and took her out. He just looked in and took her out. So, no, some preachers take that and say, bisexual. Wasn't bisexual. Adam never was bisexual. There's only one God. And he operated in three offices. And when Jesus, the disciples were after Jesus, they didn't want him to go away. They didn't want him to go away. And he said, is it expedient for you that I go away? For if I do not go away, if I don't go away, then this can't advance. Because Jesus fulfilled the office of the Holy Spirit. And he is the Holy Spirit right now, fulfilling the office. He is also fulfilling the office of the Father and of the Son. Now, would you expect me to go in our churches and preach and teach that? I wouldn't have lasted any time. You say, well, you just got mixed up. No, I'm not mixed up. Because when God called me to preach, I knew it. I understood it. Here I am, for better or for worse. But some things have been happening since I had my heart attack, or they did 5 bypasses on me. In about 2005, I began to really keep a close track on earthquakes. And I did it because something was happening that was quite remarkable. The earthquakes were increasing like mad. And the volcanic eruptions were. And the only prophet that I came to realize that ever saw over, were ever given visions of what would happen in the very last days, was Isaiah. It's a long book, but the prophet Isaiah indicated, thou shalt be visited of the Lord with thunder and lightning and earthquake. Read it for yourself. It's in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse, I'm getting to where I can't remember anything. But that's, thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and fire and lightning, and tells all that stuff. We're about to have that happen. We're going through part of the tribulation period. And there it is. So what am I supposed to do? Okay, hide that? If I'd gone around to the churches and they knew that I believed that I was going to go through part of the tribulation period, they wouldn't listen to every other word I said. I never lied to them. I just run that point up and down and say, yeah, the rapture's going to be in here. And they thought it was real funny. I'm not so stupid that I'm going to tell people a lie. And God won't put up with that. Believe me, I know well he won't put up with that because it's been so tempting. I don't know when the rapture's going to occur because God keeps the time in heaven. Who made time? Well, who made it? God made time. He's eternal. And he made time. You say, who made God? God made himself. You say, how did he go about it? Well, you think I can answer that question? That's why I tell people I don't know when the rapture is going to occur. But I know it wasn't going to occur through all this stuff we've been going through. That's a warning from Isaiah over in the first chapter. And how did you know that? Because I'm a preacher called of God. And I tell people that I think are able to bear it, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I don't lie to them. You say, well, you think you're smarter than they are. No, I think God's smarter than they are. And I think God's a lot smarter than I am. And there's some, he's taught me, Tom, don't lie. Because I've had to struggle and struggle and struggle with this. Because I don't want to lie to people. I haven't. And God has made sure I haven't. In any case, full of grace and truth, John bare witness of him in saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. Well, that's interesting. John, of his fullness have I already seen. For he is preferred, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me. Well, John was born 6 months before Jesus. So how are you going to interpret that? It has to do with the preferred. John was 6 months older. He says, he is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Do you know that John was, he was the matcher in between? You say, well, John was perfect. Was he? The only perfect man who ever lived was Jesus Christ. The only God who ever lived was one God. And God, that's all there is. And God fulfilled his own prophecy by his own power, because God is all powerful. You say, can you prove that? Yeah. All power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus Christ. He said so. You say, well, that just means God gave him all his power. Okay, that's fine. Why do you use a rib? He didn't get a rib. He just got part of God's personality. And some people that, and I have been one of them, and I'm still one. Sometimes I think I'm too smart for my own britches. And that, I just do. I know I am. I thought, no. I've learned something. Do you know why I made good grades all the time? Because I examined everything I was ever taught. I examined it thoroughly. The Lord said, try me. That's what he said, try me. I have. I was wrong and he was right. Everything I've ever tested, I was always wrong and he was always right. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, this next one is interesting. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. There is an only begotten Son of God. So am I supposed to tell people in our churches that have sat there and listened to the other side of all this and try to explain this to them? Which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus has always been in the bosom of the Father. He has always been in the bosom of the Father. And he and the Father have always been one. And the Father fulfilled three offices. And the office of the Holy Spirit convicted your heart that you needed a Savior. When you received that Savior, Jesus had to go back to heaven to fulfill the role. And now that's why he told him it was expedient. And that's what happened. You see, Why didn't I tell you this when I first came up here, Anna Mae? Would you have believed it? No, you wouldn't have believed that more than me, anybody, Moody's Goose. And a lot of people that are just as saved as I am, they have a hard time accepting this. But if I can't talk to you about it, and we're in the last days, then when am I supposed to talk about it? Isn't that why I'm talking about it to you now? Yes. You say, well, who gets the glory out of this? God. Who is God? Isn't God Spirit? Isn't the Holy Spirit Spirit? And why do you have to bring a rib out? I hesitated even teaching this to you, because I love you and I care for you, and I wouldn't do anything in the world to hurt any of you. But I want to tell you something. I am very genuine, and God has been very gracious to me. And if I can't teach you and get you to at least think about it, what kind of a pastor am I? And this is the record of John. And when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed not. And he confessed and denied not. He said, I am not the Christos. I am not the anointed one. I am not the Messiah who was supposed to come. And they asked him, art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. No, he said, I'm not Elias either. Art thou that prophet? He refers to the prophet that was, Moses said that God would one day raise up. He said, and he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. You know what happens when you cry in a wilderness? Nobody can hear you. Nobody can hear you. They don't want to hear you. They're so set in their ways, they don't want to hear you. I once had my own idea about all this. Probably still do in some area. Maybe I'm wrong. You say, well, what are you doing? I'm still studying. I'm still praying. You know why I love God? Because he first loved me. You say, well, what does that mean to you? It means that Abraham became the friend of God. I tried so hard to please God. And finally, I just gave up. And I repented toward God. And God saved me. And from that moment forward, he's been teaching me. You say, how long did it take God to teach an idiot? Oh, it's quite a while. A spiritual idiot is hard to teach. God knows we're all spiritual idiots as far as different things are concerned. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. He came and he made straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then? You see, they did baptize back then. Scribes and Pharisees, they baptized. They had baptism things that they dipped them down in, and they submerged them. If thou be not that Christ, they're asking John, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet. Now, John didn't tell them that he wasn't a prophet. He told them he wasn't that specific prophet that they were looking for. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. You don't know him. He said, I'm going to tell you why I know him. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me. John said he was not worthy to unlatch his the leather prong things they had on their sandals, whose shoes these things were done in Bethbarba beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, now notice what he said, and remember that John baptized them. They had scriptural baptism. They had all been baptized under the Jewish law. And here John is. And here they are. John says, there's one standing among you. And he said, God told me who it would be. And then he told his disciples, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. What was it Peter said? When finally most of his disciples started leaving him, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How much more direct can you be? Taketh away the sin of the world. If you don't think that triggered something in them, and all of a sudden they just started thinking about a lot of things, that's when they started thinking. This is whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me. John was born 6 months before Jesus, but Jesus was preferred before him. For he was before me. Was Jesus before him? Did Jesus not say that he saw the devil, Lucifer, fall from heaven? This is what I've been fighting about. This is what my brother and I have disagreed about all that time. He thinks that it would, but, well, anyway, I don't want to go into that. This is whom I have said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am coming baptizing with water. Now listen to what he says. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. He saw a flapping of the air. Maybe it was a dove. It says like a dove. Could have been a dove. But he saw a fluttering over Jesus. Whether it actually was a physical dove, I don't know. But John said, therefore I came baptizing with water. And she said, God had told him. And like a dove, and it abode on him, stayed on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. I think it kept fluttering. I think it was a real dove. And I think John saw it. But I don't think the rest of them there did. The same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Did not Jesus fulfill the office of the Holy Spirit? Did he not fulfill the office of the Father? Did he not fulfill the office of the Son? Does he not fulfill the office of the Holy Ghost? Did he not tell the disciples that he had to go back? He fulfilled the offices. You say, well, how important is that? It's very important, because he has not yet been anointed, because he has not fulfilled the complete office of the Holy Spirit. He is still fulfilling these three offices. You say, well, you believe he's God. Yes, I do. You say, well, if he made time, and he had to, he did. If he's eternal, and he is. If the Son has always been in his bosom, and he has, then are we not allowed to say that he's God? You say, well, why didn't you preach that out on the trail? Why didn't you teach that? Do you know what would have happened if I had? Do you not think God has indwelled me from the time he saved me? Do you not think this has been a struggle for me? I'm not trying to empathize your sympathy. Therefore, he said, and it abode on him, and I knew him not. He didn't just let it. That's why I think he saw a dove. He saw a dove flutter down on him. And I believe that was him fulfilling the office of the Holy Spirit. We've still got a little over 4 years of the tribulation period to go. And I'm telling you, all this stuff that's going on right now, it has been a warning. It's God's warning to people. You better listen. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. You know when I got baptized with the Holy Ghost? When I united with a church that still preached, that got baptized in a church that still preached the truth. And when that church had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you join a church that has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are baptized by the Spirit of Almighty God, because he is over the church. He is the head of the church. He is head of the local church. And it's in the church that the baptism is received. It's not some man walking down the street like Dwight L. Moody, as great and respected as a man as he was, who said he was just walking down the street one day and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit hit him. And he had been teaching and preaching, a Baptist preacher, well known in the local associations of the Southern Baptists, and he just got hit with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Jesus baptized the local church. And when you join a church, if that church is still teaching what he preached, you've got scriptural baptism. And I saw, you say, well, when do you tell them about it? You can't tell them anything about it until you begin to realize the full truth about God and about the other thing. I see it's getting close, Terry. And I saw and bear witness that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, notice what he said. Behold the Lamb of God. Do you think they understood what he said? They knew about sacrifice. They knew well about sacrifice. God had prepared them, and Jesus was ready to teach them. And they followed Jesus. Do you think that was by accident? No, it wasn't. They followed Jesus. That was God's plan. And saw them following, and the two disciples heard him speak. One of them was John, the other was Peter's brother. What seek you? What seek ye? What do you two fellows want? He knew. They said unto him, Rabbi, means master. What seek ye? They said, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come. He said, come and see. It was about the 10th hour of the day, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. When it got about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you were going home with somebody, you spent the night there. Doesn't say how long they stayed up. Doesn't say how long he taught them. They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and he was with him that day, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon Peter, and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. That's plural. The Holy Spirit is usually it's a stone. It's a loimos. The day following, Jesus would go into Galilee and findeth Philip, and said unto him, "Follow me." Now, there's Galilee up there. Why'd he go all the way up to Galilee? That's up at the Sea of Galilee. That's where he called them. They were not called along the riverside when Jesus was down there. Jesus called them. They went all the way up to Galilee. If you'll check all this and go back through it, and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Peter foundeth Nathanael, and then saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said, unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree," he had apparently not under the fig tree anymore, "he said, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, Master, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." That really is something we all ought to realize. He said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." He said it all in one mouthful. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And and Nathanael sure did. He saw much greater things than that. And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." That's it. And this is something that I have had so much trouble going from church to church. Pray. I'm always afraid I'll offend God. And I don't tell anybody much of anything until I get to know them. And I have gone 5 minutes over. So there we are. Robert, you want to dismiss us?